The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we find ourselves in Revelation 18, verse 9. You should have picked up notes. Revelation 18, verse 9. All right, let's take the customary time to make the rebound adjustment if we need to do so, and otherwise get our mental attitude straight and clear the deck so we can concentrate on the information in front of us. After all Scripture is God-breathed. This is God's Word. There's no filler in here. It's all important. It all has a place, and all needs to be communicated to positive volition. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, and that our faith has overcome the world, and that we are not of the world, and our citizenship is in heaven, for which we wait for a Savior and pray for the coming of Christ. Bless this Bible class to that end in Christ's name. Amen. Reaction of world leaders to the destruction of the United States. As I've calculated, the destruction will occur sometime after the second year of the tribulation. And that's based on a verse in Jeremiah, which I don't have right in front of me right now. But here's the reaction of the world leaders and the kings of the earth. Kings is what the term that was used in the ancient world, basileus. We can put, and the rulers of the earth, either way, who committed immorality and lived sensuously with her. Who committed immorality. That is having committed. Aristarchy participle, pornuo. We get words like pornography, pornuo, to fornicate. Used in the sexual sense, here it is used in a different way. And lived. Live is straniao, means to live luxuriously, indulgently. Sensuously is the translation. Both participles connected with kai share the same definite article. Will weep. Future indicative of kapto. This is the verb to mourn something. A strong expression for grief. And lament. So they will mourn here. And lament. Did I leave that out? Well, we have weep, klaio, okay, and lament. I did not. Okay, excuse me. I got my eyes off track here. Will weep, and another future, kapto, mourn, when, adverb hotan, when they see, present active subjunctive, when they see the smoke, vapors, smoke, kapnas, of her burning. Burning is the definite article with a noun, perosis, standing at a distance, keeping their distance, standing at a distance. From a distance is where the preposition apo, from. And then we have this adverb, makruthan, means to express location from a distance, because they fear for fear, phobos, for the fear, with the article, for the fear of her torment. The noun, with the adjective here, the particular torment here, this is a word for torture or torment. Bas anismas, saying, alas, alas, saying. We have the double particle that, saying, present participle, saying. The double particle, uai. That's the word translated often in your Bible, woe. Here they've chosen to translate it, alas. That great city, megas, palas, city, Babylon. Babylon. That mighty city. Notice the repetition here. Great city and mighty city. Palas. The article with iskouros means strong or mighty. For in 1 hour, for, because in one hora, hour, the numeral one, your judgment, krisis, we get our word crisis, your judgment has come, aorist indicative of erchomai. Okay, point one. At this juncture, in the divine speech, we don't want to lose track of that. God is still speaking. This is amazing to me that he is announcing this ahead of time. At the onset of the tribulation, announcing to the world what's going to come down with regard to the fall of political, economic Babylon, the United States, that he announces all of this. And we have examples in the Bible of God speaking directly to people on earth out of heaven. Not a lot of them, but there are examples. Of course, at the giving of the law, Sinai, at Jesus' baptism, that's the two I can think of immediately. And then this one, but this is an extended speech. This is like someone standing up and giving an extended speech. At this juncture in the divine speech, there is a shift. Pay attention. There is a shift from the call to believers to exit Babylon to the lament of national leaders, rulers of the earth, in verse 9 and 10, followed in verses 15 through 17a, and finally the lament of those who are seafarers in 17b to 19. So we get here in this information the reaction in our verses tonight, the reaction of national leaders. Verse 14 interrupts the laments with a word to the city-state of Babylon. Okay. National leaders around the world, with some notable exceptions, will wail openly. It doesn't have to be 100%. It just has to be a lot of different nations who are economically, politically, and otherwise tied to America. And that's going to go down. The source of so much of their political life is interwoven with the USA. It's hard to even put your head around it, to just jerk this country out and see the reaction. Obviously, Babylon's destroyers are not in view here, as they will have great cause for celebration, Jeremiah 51:14. The leaders who express great consternation are those who have committed acts of immorality and live sensuously with America. What are we to make of that? We're not talking about a sex cult. We're not talking about that. Their anguish will commence when they see the smoke of her burning. America's fall will be devastating to foreign economies. One, you pull that plug and you see what happens. It's all interrelated. The sugar daddy is gone. Boom. We can appreciate it because we're not into that field. But just take that out of your economy and out of your country, and all of a sudden, where are you? Especially those that are tied to the dollar, the reserve currency of the world. There's another example of American influence, the reserve currency of the world. The kings of the earth would not include, again, Russia, as it has separated itself from the IMF, the World Bank, and other Western economic entanglements. All Russia has to fear is nuclear fallout. Everybody on the earth has to fear nuclear fallout as the winds push this mess in the air. It doesn't stay over America. That stuff spreads. It's poison all over and all around. That's another area of consternation for peoples of the earth. We've already seen in the sixth seal judgment that a lot of people are going to die. Collateral death, we'll call it. With regard to those who ingest this. And it'll be different in different places. Again, God controls all of this. The kings of the earth include the leaders in league with the beast. As a sidebar, how could these 10 kings stand at a distance if Babylon is the EU, as some interpreters suggest? They'll do anything to avoid the U.S. in prophecy. Well, they're going to pay for it. And these fundies that are out there, the big wigs in the news, they don't have that in their repertoire. They don't have... Jerks distort chapter 17 and 18, and what do you got? Furthermore, it makes no sense for these 10 kings to lament the overthrow of Babylon of chapter 17, since they are in concert with the beast to destroy the RCC, the Roman Catholic Church. So much for the idea that Babylon of chapter 17 and 18 are one and the same. I had to touch on what is in the commentaries, at least the ones I've had over in my life and in my library. This is one of the last doctrines people are going to line up with. The ruler of America at the time of her visitation is mentioned in Jeremiah 50, 18 and 43 and 51:3. The last president, I guess you could call him, of the United States of America, he is mentioned in Jeremiah here. I'll look it up for you. Therefore, thus says the Lord of the armies, the God of Israel, behold, I'm going to punish the king of Babylon and his land, just as I punished the king of Assyria. And 43. The king of Babylon has heard the report about them. The president of the United States will be informed that there's an all-out nuclear attack. And what is his reaction going to be? He will be given details. And his hands will hang limp. Distress has gripped him. Agony. Like a woman in childbirth. He gets to personally witness. He's probably in some semi-secure place. in a hole in the ground, a nuclear shelter. Not that that's going to do him any good, but at least he has a prolonged time when it is when he gets word of this all out attack. And 51:3. What did I put that in there for? I don't know. Let not him who bends his bow bend it. Well, that is basically, that one's in there to demonstrate that we're not going to be able to retaliate in kind. And one of us was talking Sunday about the way that our arsenal will be neutralized. The weapons will be as useless. They'll just sit there. They won't go because of, I have a book in my library, if I can run it down, about electromagnetic pulse. God sets people up. They put their trust in things. He can find a way around it and neutralize it. Let not him who bends his bow bend it, nor let him rise up in his scale armor. So do not spare her young men. Devote all her army to destruction. There you have it. This is not something people want to hear. We've prevailed in all of our wars, but not this final event. We won't even get one off in retaliation, because Jesus Christ controls all of this stuff on earth. All of it. The political immorality the leaders of the world have engaged in with America is their acceptance of financial largesse with all the strings, with all its strings, monetary, military, on and on it goes. All the time I'm hearing about, we're over here doing this and this and all these other things that where we're tied in with these nations. We just can't mind our own damn business. We've got to be involved with all the nations like we're some kind of a savior, and we aren't. National sovereignty is undermined. They become hooked like on a drug with regard to the United States and its system. You'd have to take a course in those topics to realize the degree of the entanglement. You really would, to have a full appreciation of it. But like all these other things we've been brainwashed on, we just accept it. It's too late. We've been fooling around in other nations' affairs at the political and at the economic level for a long time. And we've been involved in our own form of conquest. Not the usual kind of conquest where we took over the country and made it, you know, a part of the United States. But we have gone into countries and took over certain aspects of their economy. Who's that general of World War I, who it was a Medal of Honor winner and everything? He finally saw the light. His last name is Smedley. And he wrote a book about it. He said, this is after World War I, in South America, I finally realized what we were up to. Their agriculture. We wanted to get our claws in it. Not let them have it and do their thing. Get our people in there with money and so forth to control these agricultural things in Latin America. He began to see through it. He's one in a, well, I say a million. He's one of the very few who had the integrity to see where this was all headed back then. There are those who have exposed the system. But what kind of press do they get? Not much. Because the press is controlled by the elite. You know, NBC, ABC, CBS, and all those down the line. The kings of the earth include leaders in league with the beast. As a sidebar, how could these 10 kings stand at a distance if Babylon is the EU? Okay. Furthermore, it makes no sense for these kings to lament the overthrow of Babylon of chapter 17, since they are in concert with the beast to destroy the RCC. So much for the idea that Babylon of chapter 17 and 18 are one and the same. They're not. The ruler of America at the time of her visitation is mentioned in these verses I gave you. The political immorality of the leaders of the world have engaged in with America is their acceptance of financial largesse with all of its strings. The individuals who are kings betray the best interests of their own people. These individuals benefit personally from this illicit relationship. And if they don't cooperate, we'll get another one that will. Some are no more than American puppets. We grant economic benefits in exchange for various favors. With the fall of America, the rug is pulled out from under them. They are not weeping out of any particular love they have for this particular woman, but because the source of much of their wealth and power is suddenly removed. With the exception of Great Britain, the mourning is not due to real affection. Jeremiah 50:12. Regarding America. Who's America's mother? England. Basic history. Your mother will be greatly ashamed. She who gave you birth will be humiliated. Great Britain. Behold, she will be the least of the nations, a wilderness, a parched land, and a desert. America. Landmass. This vast landmass from the east coast to the west coast, from Canada down. That is a lot of land. I don't remember how many square miles this is, but it's huge. It will be reduced to this. I think that the English people, with the rapture and other events going on, I think they're going to make a spiritual turnaround. I do. I don't think they're a part of the EU. They're not. They've kind of tried to maintain a distance from the EU, European Union, the nations on the continent. There is debate over the word translated least in Jeremiah 50:12. It doesn't seem to make any sense to refer to the once mighty America as least once it ceased to exist. Another usage of the Hebrew noun, Akarith, is to what is behind as well as to future things. The seeming contradiction between the idea of what lies behind and what lies ahead is resolved by the notion of a latter-day nation. It comes late in human history, but is great up until it is no more. America comes late in the church age. Look at all the centuries before us. We weren't nothing. And then with the birth of America, we started building this country, expanding on the continent, developing it, as you know, from basic history. Until eventually we became the leading nation economically in the world, surpassing Great Britain, who had colonies all over the place. That island. And surpassed everything else on earth. We probably really hit our stride at the end of World War II. maybe one to that extent. They went through a bad period with the Great Depression. But we came roaring out of that. And we had periods like the Roaring Twenties. Okay. And people let their hair down and carried on, you know. And then the Great Depression struck. The bankers are involved in this stuff. Before that, they did boom and bust. It wasn't a natural thing in economies. It was with the stock market, it was boom and bust. And they sold everybody on the idea, if we get a Federal Reserve System and blah, 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 we won't have these up and downs anymore. I remember that in economic class. Liars. Then we get slapped with the Great Depression. So the idea is likened to a rower who backs into the future, so to speak. A better rendering here is last or ladder. America compared to the nations and peoples elsewhere is fairly recent development, being some 230 years of age, now 250. The smoke of her burning recalls the destruction of Sodom, Genesis 19:28. Abraham could see it going up in the air from where he was in the land of Israel. Well, it wasn't that far away, but still. But here the nature of burning compels humanity to keep their distance. That wasn't true with Sodom and Gomorrah. Once things cooled down, you could go in there. It wasn't, I mean, yes, all the fires had to die out and the heat had to subside. And people could go in there. And people are to this day in those regions and areas and have been. The whole Dead Sea area and up and down there, yeah. The noun translated torment occurs only in Revelation 9:5, 14:11, 18:7, 10 and 15. What the world leaders fear for themselves and the people is the nuclear contamination. That makes perfect sense. That quickly swirls around the earth, bringing on the four horsemen of the fourth seal, killing one out of every... It was the fourth seal. One out of every four persons on earth. I misspoke earlier. Sorry. These leaders have much to fear. But the thing that they should fear most is falling into the hands of a living God. There is your escape hatch. Turning to Christ in the tribulation, and some leaders will. Some top people will too. There's an appeal to the rulers and the judges of the earth in Psalm 2. Kiss the Son. A kiss was a sign of affection. Kiss the Son, lest you perish in the way. Kiss is a synonym for the salvation adjustment. Acknowledge Him. Their words are not so much intended as decisive as simply here as a statement of fact. They rightly acknowledge that America was the great city, the mighty city-state. There's an interconnection between all the big cities in America, like a web, with commerce, traveling, the highway system. Now, airports, it's like a web. The great city. It's not just talking about New York. It's talking about all of the interconnected cities from one coast to the other. They recognize and state the blatantly obvious, that Babylon is destroyed in 1 hour, but more surprisingly, that her fall was a judgment. These are not terms moderns generally speak in when a deadly event overtakes people. They're not walking around saying, God dropped another bomb on people. Environmental. Earthquakes. And the things we read about in the news all the time. Unusual storms. Destruction of property. They're not talking about God is bringing His wrath down on the country in this way, leading up to, and so forth. There are examples of unbelievers mouthing the divine viewpoint, albeit rarely, but usually in the face of the spectacular. Example, when the magicians of Egypt acknowledged that the great plague was the finger of God. Hey, they had a moment of enlightenment, didn't they? Something you do with your finger doesn't take much, usually. Finger work. And when they finally couldn't match what was being brought down by the God of Moses and Aaron, that's as close as they got to the truth. This is the finger of God. A moment of enlightenment. God, who is all powerful, how hard is it for Him to do that? Those things? No, nothing. Only when they could not mimic the plague did they so confess before Pharaoh. In Revelation, we see hardened humanity begrudgingly. This is the sick part of it. Begrudgingly acknowledge the impending wrath of the Lamb. We saw in chapter 6, verse 16. They're talking about Christ. He'll be called, I like that. That a reference to Jesus in the tribulation will be a lamb. Now, how threatening is a lamb? They're not, but this one is. Well, they refer to the Antichrist as the beast. The lamb will defeat the beast. They're no match for him. But people in the tribulation will begrudgingly, but they won't. That doesn't mean they make the salvation adjustment. They will know that this is the wrath of the Lamb. As I've told you before, in the tribulation there's going to be some big mental changes. People are going to be hooked into a flat earth. That includes the Antichrist. Satan has run out of steam with that one. It'll be over. It's cracking already. It's cracking to pieces. We got the internet. And we got people asking hard questions and doing experiments. Obviously, for some people, like in a fanatical religion, there's no amount of evidence that's going to change their mind. I've had that theme over and over in the Bible. They just dig in their heels and harden their hearts. And my God, I've seen it in Maranatha Church through my life and my ministry. It doesn't matter how much you document certain things. It's called in the Bible stiff-necked. The neck, as a part of human anatomy, and other parts of anatomy represent different things in the soul. The neck represents volition. Bow your neck. Rather than just say, that's the truth. I was wrong. Let's go. Revelation 6:16, and we note others blaspheming the source of their miseries. They're shaking their fist at God. They aren't saying there is no God. There is no Jesus Christ right up above us. They are fully aware of it. Read Psalm 2. They acknowledge the existence of Christ. The Antichrist doesn't deny the existence of Christ, like atheists who deny the existence of God. But in the tribulation, there'll be no place for atheists to hide. Everything is going to be so out in the open and so obvious about the Creator and about the Lord in particular. it's going to be so obvious. You can't get them to sit down and listen to doctrine today, but in there, they're going to get it shoved right in their faces. Look at all the people that resisted who and what Jesus Christ was, with all the biblical evidence and all the other external evidence with regard to his public ministry. Look at it. And the relatively few in Israel turned to him and believed in him. But he came to his own people, and his own people received him not. And he had all the credentials. And to this day, the Jews harden their hearts. Or as it says in the New Testament, there is a veil over their hearts. It's like having something hanging in front of you, and you cannot quite see through it. What do the Jews in Israel or anywhere else need? They need the good news. Not a bunch of Christians hugging them. Paul didn't go around hugging them just because they're Jews. You know what he said about the Jews? They have become the enemy of all mankind. That sounds anti-Semitic, doesn't it? That's because they dropped the ball with regard to their mission as the priest nation and the presentation of Jesus Christ to the pagan nations like they did from time to time in Old Testament times. They blew it. And salvation by the law and works doesn't cut it. You go nowhere with that. Oh, it looks good. All this external stuff. But it's out of place. So the Jews in Israel, they're going to have to go through a real ringer. But a bunch of them are going to snap and get lined up and not do like their fathers. They're going to break with it. God is going to remove blindness from Jacob. Jacob referring to the 12 tribes. Even these evil, unbelieving rulers acknowledge the fall of America as your judgment. Because in this time, people will be talking differently. Doesn't mean they'll all become believers. It's just they're talking. We don't talk today in terms of if something bad happens on the earth as a judgment from God. But we know that there are these things that definitely are a judgment from God. It's just Mother Nature or something. It is like someone speaking truth over a corpse. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Now, this